Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, the show celebrates Christmas. And to do that, they drink a 2010 Mary Edwards Klopp Ranch Russian River Valley Pinot Noir. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, oh, it's a special night because it is our Christmas episode airing one day after Christmas, but you're still in the Christmas spirit, aren't you? Aren't you?
Ho, ho, ho.
I know. With that, the biggest ho in the world is here on the show tonight. It is Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver. Yes. Also, do they celebrate Christmas in Russia? We will find that out because the Triple B is on tonight. Oh, silence.
Good evening.
An icy stare. Icy.
Well, at least you got the gag right, the shtick right. You didn't say she's from Ukraine.
That's right. I called you a hoe. So on tonight's show, we have a wine that Becky has requested. It is a wine that Becky loves. Everybody loves this wine. It also
those who know it.
Goes along with the Christmas spirit because it's Mary.
Oh, see, that's Edwards.
Oh, very clever. On tonight's show, we have an older Pinot Noir, 2010, Mary Edwards. Mary Edwards is a premium Pinot producer and Sauvignon Blanc in California. They're Russian River Valley Klopp Ranch Pinot Noir. Very exciting wine. Becky and I have been to Mary Edwards. Scott, have you ever been to Mary
Edwards? I've not been to Mary Edwards.
It's very lovely.
Very snobby.
And it's also, they had a boardroom. We tasted it in an actual conference room.
Yeah, we did.
This one where they, one of the ones where they opened the tastings up for you?
Kind of. Yeah, they're like, oh, you would like to, okay. I guess we'll go in my office. And
is it because we were there on like New Year's?
It was around there, but it didn't look like they really had a dedicated room. Tasting
yeah.
room, which is
yeah.
odd, but they, I don't know.
I wonder if it's changed since they've transferred ownership.
Yeah, I know. Maybe it has.
Oops.
They're an extremely well-known producer. I mean, they're small production, very small production, but at the same time, especially out there, everybody knows Mary Edwards. And so, yeah, for it not to
be... I feel
really,
like they're like the...
It seemed that way in Russian River. There was a certain esteem that they held that not every... no one said go to, Ricoli or go to this or that. They said go to Mary Edwards. Mm-hmm. You know, so
it was kind of like the standard.
Yeah. Go there.
Yeah, that was that. Of course, you should go here. Of course, you should.
Bodega Bay. They didn't the concierge at Bodega Bay and whatever call ahead of that. Was that Acorn?
Acorn.
Okay, I think he also called though for Mary Edwards. So it's a good wine, and the fact is that this is an older wine, and we're going to be testing it. What happens to Pinot as it ages, and you go, well, that's 2010, it's not old, you guys have drank stuff from the 90s. Yes, we have. But California Pinot Noirs, for the most part, aren't necessarily 25-year aging wines. They aren't. They're 10. They're 10 to 15 max. Even like Hansel and some of them really... Maybe, you know, if you get like the Paul Hobbs and some of the stuff that's $90 to $100 in that range, you might be finding some things that are a little bit more than that. But even then, aging-wise, Cali Pinot, it's not Burgundy. It isn't. It's designed for mid-range consumption, mid-range cellaring, mid-range consumption.
Really. And this would be more in the 50s at the time you purchased it?
This would have been about 60.
So, okay.
And I believe I bought this in Kansas City, Missouri.
Really?
Yes, and we flew back. It was when we were there it was when Henry was one. And he was just born, and we were at your church conference.
It wasn't when we drove there?
No, it wasn't at the wedding. We flew it back.
Really?
Oh, yes. So that's when we bought that many, many moons ago. It's exciting. So, folks, also on tonight's show, we have our annual Christmas celebration. And we're going to also tonight, since New Year's, I'm not sure if that'll be a brand new episode. What we don't know. But we're going to name our winery.
Tonight?
You don't want to do that tonight? Because we're
I wasn't prepared at all.
Yeah, some preparation would be nice.
Well, there, I will let you know what you'll vote for. Actually, I was looking at what we drank this year, and for a wine of the year.
I know what immediately pops to my mind, but I feel like I need to think for a minute. But maybe that is the whole point. Whatever pops in your head should be the wine of the year.
It should be. Because there's not, I look back and I was like, there's a lot of wines. Think of it, it's just kind of, there's some.
I feel like we had a ton that we ranked 86 to 89. I feel like we had a lot in that range.
A lot of good, solid wines.
Yeah.
A few that were really good, but they're more tasty and enjoyable. More like the, the Hitching Post was one. That was a really enjoyable wine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not a classically scored wine.
You know what I am going to give wine of the year to?
What?
Bonanza.
Well, that was last year. So,
was it?
Yeah. Thank God.
Last year, so,
you know, hey, we have its brethren. What did we have recently from there? Oh, Meiomi Cabernet. That's up for that. Yeah, Meiomi Cabernet. Yeah.
It's brethren.
Yeah. So, boop, boop, boop. So, folks, we're going to take a break. And then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So, Mary Edwards, Klopp Ranch Vineyards. We were just looking back at some of the things that we've done the last year, and I noticed that Becky and I did this in the 2009 vintage of this last March. That's okay.
Last March 2020.
20. So it's been a while.
When we were podcasting solo?
It was when we were podcasting solo when Scott was, he was in quarantine.
We were COVID.
Yeah. But that's okay. It's been a year and a half, folks. So this is the next vintage. Get over it. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's Christmas time.
Rob, you look like you have pink eye.
I did. I got kicked in the face by William.
We're all kind of a little injured.
Yeah, like it hurt.
Throat thing going on.
It was a fight. That's okay. But it was a wrestling match. He kicked me in the face, and I went down. And Wayne was, oh, my God, oh, my God. And he goes, shit. And Henry goes, William, you can't say that. And he goes, but Dad's hurt. He goes, that doesn't mean you can say bad words.
But what he was thinking was, I don't care. Don't say bad words.
Well, he's like,
of course we always beat up our dad.
No, they didn't care. They tried to take advantage of that.
It's so funny.
Yeah. He's like, shit.
It's
like,
what? It's so funny.
So,
what?
This would be a good time to reflect.
On what?
On your interactions at the Mary Edwards. Was there ever a time while you were in the Russian River Valley that you left your wife unattended?
No, why?
Maybe this is one.
I know where he's headed.
Maybe this is one they made first contact.
What?
The Russian River Valley. It's when I became a Russian.
Oh, that's very clever.
Asset.
Russian River Valley. Oh.
So, sir, was there ever a time you left your wife unattended?
No, I believe she's been an asset for a lot longer than that. Asset is a strong term. She's just more of a Tokyo Rose type person, I do believe.
What's that mean?
Just a propaganda.
I'm like below an agent.
Give up your fight. New York is kaput. The American flag is shreds.
No one would have ever expected me because I was like 8 months pregnant.
That's right. I know. Well.
But maybe that's when the approach happens.
That's true. Mm-hmm. We have heard of your work. When you are defrauding credit card customers in Kentucky, you are very efficient in your nefarious behaviors.
No morals.
Yeah. Would you like to become part of something bigger? bringing something towards world domin- I mean, world peace. Yes.
Yeah, there we go.
She's probably, maybe she's even just like a free agent. She's just trying to, just a, she's an anarchist.
Oh, yeah. Like maybe they didn't even she's anything. Antifa. I'm just all on my own.
Antifa.
All these dickwads. Are, hey, Antifa. No, she's Antifa.
Young boys.
That's all they're interested in is just trying to bring down good wine. That being said,
well,
we are here for America.
Well, sometimes for France.
That's true.
Sometimes for Chile.
That's true. There's some fascists in Chile, aren't there? That's Italy. Sorry.
They still make good wine.
That's true. Yes, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think there's some, right in South America, there's some.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You probably know them. You have worked for the individuals all right. around the world. All right. You've spent much time in many countries.
Let's talk about Mary Edwards.
That's true. Let's talk about something else. You need to change the subject when they become too suspicious mm-hmm. of you. Yes. All right.
So are you going to... Do you have research
about Mary Edwards? I have a review. Sorry. Wait,
well, hold on. Wow. Mary Edwards sold...
Yes. They did sell. I don't recall to whom. Someone else.
But is Mary Edwards stayed on as the winemaker?
Yes, I believe it was just like Heights, where they sold to a different company, holding company. But, however, they are still in control.
They maintain control. Mm-hmm. Of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's more, think of it more of as like you're being bought up by venture capitalists. You still control it. They're just trying to pass around like, you know, cigarettes or, you know, weak prisoners in prison, that kind of stuff.
I kind of thought about it too, like, when you're, when you have a craft, like mm-hmm. I feel like Mary Edwards views this as like winemaking as a craft.
Okay.
But then you have a business to run. You have like, you have to worry about your books. You have to worry about blah, blah, blah. Like yeah. you don't get to make your wine. You know what I mean? Like,
well,
there's all these other things involved. So sure. if you bring in someone to do the business, do all the other stuff, you just get to make the wine.
Well, part of it though is sort of like the restaurant business. You build up a brand. Then you sell that brand off, maintain some kind of control, because then you go on to a new project. Yeah. And I think that's
You make a ton of money.
Well, Helen Turley started off at Turley and then went off to, what is she, Markison?
Sounds right.
Yeah.
Have we tried that?
It's too expensive.
Is it?
Very.
How much?
Oh, very. We've already been through this. Markison? It's like $300 for a bottle of Chardonnay.
What?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
And who is Helen?
Helen Turley. She's Larry Turley's sister, is that right?
That sounds right.
Yeah.
So Christina Turley's aunt.
I believe so. Yes. Yes. She has not been involved with Turley in quite some time, though. So.
$300 a bottle.
Yeah. Yeah. It has like a lion little thingy wizard on
it has
the
an animal.
It does. Maybe that's where Tribunal got its inspiration from. So, the review. Yes. I'm sorry. This is Wilford. Oh, thank you, Mary.
Hey. This wine if I...
Merry fucking Christmas.
Merry
no,
Christmas,
I did not review this wine. Trust me, I didn't.
Wine guy says he has a present for you later.
Oh.
Yeah, don't get too excited.
Oh, Scott, can I unwrap your present? It'd be great.
And you have to get Rob's first.
Normally, you would wrap it yourself and sleep next to somebody.
Well, oh, my God.
You probably have pictures on your cell phone.
Markison, M-A-R-C-A-S-S-I-N.
That's right.
Their Chardonnay got a 100.
Yes.
From Robert Parker.
Yes.
$550.
That's a lot of money. It's a really, really good Chardonnay.
Well, it's unavailable, but still, well, sure. How could a Chardonnay be that good?
It's just unavailable in Ohio. If you have a P.O. box in Kentucky, you could probably get it. Nevertheless.
We could try that. Try to start shipping wine to my mom.
We can. We'll do it.
And run it.
Yes. Fuck them. Fuck on the air. Fucking Dave Yost. Suck a dick, Dave Yost. Anyway.
Oh, you know what it is in Kentucky?
What?
325. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I thought your head was...
Still not buying it. Okay. Anyway.
Why is this label purple?
I don't know.
That's all true. That cork's a little dusty. Wait, that's not a cork. That's a... Never mind.
I don't even know what you're talking about. Anyway.
Wine in Kentucky.
Oh, okay. This is the wine enthusiast. Okay, they were extremely enthusiastic. They gave it 95 of their points. And they wrote, "This vineyard has been sourced to some of the winery's greatest bottlings. The wine is enormously fruity, like me,
and with raspberry, cherry, and red plum flavors that food the palate. Oh, flood the palate. Oh, my one eye is a little screwed up from being kicked in it. But it's no mere fruit bomb, offering the most wonderful thin acid or tannin acid structure and a dryness that keeps the wine stimulating it through a long, spicy finish. Drinkable now, but also cellar-worthy through 2018 at least. Rob the Wine Guy, this is 2021. That's not actually that long. What? That's not a very... Because that was... They published 2013, so they're saying keep it in your cellar for at least 5 years. That's not really... That's like forgetting it in a closet for five... That's not cellaring. I got a problem with that.
Well, all right, Roger.
Well, they don't even say they like mango chutney.
How dare they?
I know.
I can't even understand you when you talk like that, so I just don't listen.
Oh. You miss so many things.
I miss nothing.
Now I know how I can talk, and you can't hear what I say. I can have all sorts of secret conversations. This is such a melodic, easy voice to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's not doesn't hurt after a little bit anyway, right here.
We haven't even said one thing about this wine.
Why? I said it's a 95 and cellar worthy. It's delicious. You know what else is delicious, Scott?
I'm afraid to answer.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
A whole tub of peanut butter. That's what it is. Yeah. Do you know where I put? Never mind.
You're disgusting.
Stop.
That's what they said on the HR complaint. Stop. That's all they said. I was disgusting. And I was like, well, that's not very, it's not very specific. I want to know details. And I got the whole report. Sometimes I read it to myself quietly at night, very slowly.
All right. Let's talk about the wine.
Okay.
In the glass.
Speaking of food spoilage.
I'm entitled to my own copy of the report.
Oh, you're entitled.
Nothing wrong with that.
There's something wrong with that.
Right. Wilford took his pants off.
It's like really red, rusty, like blood colored.
Yes.
There's definitely some brickishness to it.
Mm-hmm. It should be. It's a little bit old. You're supposed to cellar it through 2018 at least.
Oh.
What?
Oh, at least or max?
At least, but comma at least. Probably more max, but...
Hmm.
The 9, though, a year and a half ago, was great. So, This is the 10.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah, it's really pretty.
It's, probably a little denser.
Yeah, I would agree.
Mm-hmm.
To the eye than most Pinots we're going to have had on the show.
Yeah.
You could just about... I mean, it is a much denser. That's a really good call. You would still know it was a Pinot by looking at it, I think, but it is much denser than others.
It has a oily or a glycerin appeal mm-hmm. to about it, too.
It does.
Across the top, it's kind of glossy.
Slitherly.
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 It's much more effective.
We didn't even do it. Becky didn't smell it. Faint notes of lavender.
Yep, faint.
Yeah. Well.
That's a floral. A little bit of balm.
Just a touch of molasses, too.
Oh, yeah, that is what that is. Mm-hmm. I was trying to figure it out. Yeah, you're right. Good call. There's something.
Raspberry.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sure. The molasses would be from the age.
And way back in there is the Pinot Funk. It's way back in there, but it's there.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite full on Barnyard.
No.
But
no.
It's there.
They don't ever go full Barnyard with these. So, and Russian River tends to be a little more sleeker.
Mossy forest floor. It's not all the way Barnyard, but it's mossy forest floor.
That's starting to open up nicely. What I did was, first of all, the cork, of course, fell apart. And so I had to have surgery to remove it. I did it successfully.
Use a coffee filter or what?
No, I just didn't get any cork in it.
Oh, okay.
Quite talented. So I poured it into the canner and I put it out and I had tasted it to make sure it wasn't gone. And it was tart. It was a lot of cranberry, off kilter slightly. But I said, I said, Rob, give it time, give it a chance. And as I sit here and as Greek and molasses notes.
Did you say Greek?
Greek. And a little bit of
garlic? Is that what you're saying? I don't know what you're saying.
You know, kind of a meaty, guttural kind of thing. That sounds disgusting, but you know what I mean. Scott, you know what I mean.
I don't.
Oh.
Meaty and disgusting.
Yeah, so not meaty, but salted meat.
Our cookouts.
Yeah, kind of. And that warmth of and a little bit of menthol as it draws across from the oak that's kind of lingering there. A little bit of, well, mossy funk. That kind of finishes up. You say, yeah, okay. It's, yeah. Just needed, it needed to decant. It needed to open. It needed to breathe. It needed to. There's so many things that we've had that we've opened and that were, that just straight off the gun, we wrote off. And then given time, these wines oxygenate and they come back to life and they show what they have. And they're lovely. And I thought this might be one of those cases as well. Yes.
Long back half of this wine.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say it has funk, but it's not overly funky. The thing that stands out to me about this is what stood out to me the most when we drank Camus. You could drink this all day long. Like, I would have to be careful to not polish off three or four glasses of it because it's just so smooth and lovely.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's...
Mm-hmm.
It's a really nice... Very, I mean, you expect it to be, but it is a really nice drinking wine.
Perfect balance.
Yeah.
Of the oak with the tannins that are... properly aged.
Yeah.
I wonder what the oak would have been on the palate if this was only set down for 3 or 4 years.
Mm. Yeah, it would have been more pronounced naturally, I would think. But
where now it's like it's perfectly balanced.
Yeah.
The tannic structure and the oaking, beautiful finish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really lightly oaked for sure. I do wonder what it would have been like a couple years ago, oaking-wise, because it is pretty light now.
Well, I think the front palate would... Well, you can see reference to it in the review, kind of. If you take what the enthusiast said with a grain of salt, but it would have been a lot more... raspberry fruits, big fruits in the front. So you're going to might see a little bit more bombastic oak on the back half, but it's going to be a far fruitier wine. I think the fruit is what's been slightly mellowed and the wine is lengthened. Such a nice finish. Maybe slightly understated.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just a little bit of woodsiness with a little bit of mossy kind of, you know, earthiness that just finishes up. It's so lovely. But you still have that
lovely
nice...
Lovely is such a good word for it. This is a lovely glass of wine.
Well, it also has that really nice, in my opinion, quite frankly, soft but slightly racy berry fruit still up front. It's not like juicy and huge, but it's still there. And that I always get those... I always like those nice round fruits. You see that so much in my experiences with Russian River.
Do you think it's a little bit... past its prime,
I think,
because of the way the fruit's exhibiting. Because there's not much there.
Well, no, I think that it's what it should be.
Okay,
you're not picking up any flavors that would suggest that it's past it. It's not cranberry. It's not, you know, there isn't any. If it were like a blood orange or something like that, where you're getting a little bit of tinge of, you know, maybe even a lot of raisin that just didn't seem like it makes sense. Because everything makes sense as a Pinot. Mm-hmm. Could you drink it? Could you have drank it 2 or 3 years earlier and maybe have a slightly bigger fruit? Yeah. But if you don't want that bigger fruit, it's good now. I guess it just depends on what you really want.
It would be cool if you could, I mean, this is impossible, but have had it in the memory bank of it for you like 2018 and then now, you know, that would be a cool taste test. It's lovely now.
Fruit wise, I'm not getting the berry. I'm getting just a tinge of like slightly unripe cherry, but just a tinge. That's what I'm getting on the front palate.
Huh? I'm getting blackberry.
Blackberry? Let
me go. Yeah. Really? It's more
on the front.
Yeah. Just the juiciness of it. And quite frankly, the flavor. You eat a blackberry. That's what I get. Just that kind of fleshy pop to it. It's all right there. I don't get much cherry. That's what I get.
Kiss.
I get black fruits.
In the mid palate, for sure. I'm just talking about that.
No, I'm talking about
front palate, right there. It's really short.
Okay.
That front palate is so short.
It is short. I would give you that. What are your thoughts on the texture of the wine?
The Pinot Turley mouthfeel equivalent.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
It's next level. So,
yeah.
It's a little denser mouthfeel. I'm not saying it necessarily tastes of chocolate, but when you have that coating of your tongue of nice chocolate.
That's like a good way to describe it.
It's like putting your tongue in the chocolate fountain, which is frowned upon.
Well, but we've all seen children do that, though.
What if it's a different body part?
Not your fingers either.
I wasn't talking about that either.
What's that?
I'm glad you said fondue. Oh. We need to do fondue for the boys again.
That'd be fun. Maybe Christmas Eve.
Yep.
Or not.
It's been a long time.
We normally do prime rib for Christmas Eve, don't we?
We did lasagna.
Last year we did prime rib.
Did we?
Oh, yeah.
We might have. I feel like I was so cracked out of my face last year for Christmas.
Had you broken leg by then?
Yeah, I broke my leg a year ago last week.
Okay. Yeah, that was... Folks, you all remember Becky's... Yeah, that was a horrible time for you. Everybody.
It was. I broke my leg. I was pregnant. I was puking.
It was a little... The people did not know you were pregnant at that time. But still, they knew you broke your leg. Long time you were in the chair or in your wheelchair.
Yeah.
No.
It's really. Did we bring the wheelchair down here?
Yeah. Yeah. You would scoot down on your butt, and then
we sat. Yeah. I sat in the wheelchair.
Wheelchair. Bo was just not knowing what to do with himself.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I do remember that on the ground.
What are you doing? You're in a robot chair. This is wrong.
Well, he's afraid you're going to hurt his mom again.
Yeah.
We know you broke her leg.
Yes, I peed on the floor.
Tripped her.
My
I was upstairs.
My with favorite Bo. Thing, yeah, I was going to say, is that Bo didn't want to come down the stairs.
Bo was my alibi. He knew where I was. Yeah.
You know, if I was going to commit a crime, a violent crime at that, I would go for a better alibi than Bo the Wonder Dog.
And Bobo Bangles.
Well, what have you used in the past? So when you were murdering the hookers, did you, like, call up Deb and say, hey, Deb, how you doing?
No, remember when you were digging the shallow
don't
graves.
Listen to that tussling going on in the back of the car. Just ignore that. It's not, the muffled screams. No, it's nothing.
When you were digging the shallow graves in your backyard, remember you were my alibi.
Nothing. Scott always, he killed those hookers when he was, I'm sorry.
Then licensed taxi driver.
Ladies of the night, your alter ego. And then, he said he buried him back in our backyard, but that's ridiculous, so, you know.
Actually, Rob helped me.
Sure. I'm Rob not going what? Down with you. No, sir.
Here's a question.
Speaking of alibis, I don't get the blackberry. I'm sorry.
I don't care.
I'm not getting the blackberry.
Who gives a shit what you get? Okay, go ahead.
I was just going to ask, do you think this is a mass appeal wine or no? And
I think everyone should like it. If they don't like it, then it's their fault.
I think it depends if you're if you're talking price criteria, then you can't say it is, because people aren't going to spend as much on a bottle of wine.
Right.
Some people do.
Yeah.
Some people have the money and good fortune to be able to drink Mary Edwards every night if they want to. God bless you.
Well, yeah, you drink it every now and then. Maybe you drink one bottle a year. Okay.
But mass appeal, it should.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This flavor profile, I mean,
it's a good wine.
It's probably not
appealing, or not unappealing. That's not the right word. There's nothing to me that would be like a divisive.
No, I agree.
Taste.
It's just that cab drinker. This is not going to be their mojo.
I don't know.
If there's a Pinot that would appeal to them, this is probably it. It's denser.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I mean it's excellent. I mean, you go over into New Zealand, you're going to get a certain type. You go up into Oregon, you're going to get a certain type. It's a little more like Cali, but it's not quite. I mean, you go down further south, you know, Santa Lucia Highlands, and you know, Santa Rosa and all that stuff. You know, Monterey, Central Coast, all that kind of stuff. It's not this. Now I love what Hitching Post did down there. I bought some Hitching Post. Really, really enjoy it. And I'm going to buy Hitching Post in the future.
Yep.
But this is a different animal.
Oh.
I mean, I don't think it's in stock right now. But when it is in stock, I will add, assuming that it's got good press, you know, Mary Edwards here or there. I mean, I'm not going to have 60 bottles of Mary Edwards. But I might have 3 or 4 just sprinkled across different vintages. Not 2-in-1 vintage, but a 2018, a 2020. Just sprinkle it in so you can remember and enjoy it now and again. It's not something I'm going to collect, but it's something I really like. And I've never had a bad bottle. I've always had great bottles of Mary Edwards. And there's Sauvignon Blanc is something to behold, too.
Yeah, it is. I was, when I just took my last sip, right before the end, right before the finish, I keep getting something that almost is like a chalk.
Answer your own question. What do you think about this
mass appeal? I think it is a mass appeal. I think that Pinot, people are hesitant about. Do you see the chalk?
This is
soil.
Do
you feel it? This is soil?
Yeah.
Okay. So anyways, I think it is a mass appeal. I do also think that it would maybe win over some people that are not Pinot drinkers.
Good bit. The mouthfeel itself might be a little bit alluring.
Yeah, 100%. And this is next level.
Mm-hmm.
I don't drink Pinot. Well, try this.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
lovely.
Who around the table, red wine drinkers we know, even novices per se, wouldn't appreciate this wine?
I know. Shakespearean Phil is it. Infamous no Pinot person.
That's because the only Pinots he's had were back in the day. And back in the day, it was hard to find good Pinot. I mean, back in early 2000s, late 90s, it was a little bit hit and miss. I mean, even some premium producers, especially in Cali, you were going to get some duds. And so he experienced a lot of duds. He experienced a lot of light wine, spritzy, alcohol-laden things. It just weren't any good. And that's what his experience, that's what mentally he equates to Pinot Noir. He never had anything like tasting like this because there wasn't that. I mean, it wasn't as diversified. There was Hanzel.
Experience-based bias.
Yeah, and there was, and we weren't buying $60, $70 bottles of wine. Good God, no. And so,
Yeah, you could probably find this some places. Did you carry Mary Edwards at Anderson's?
I'm not sure that what kind of, I don't know when it was founded, but I'm not sure it was in the.
Yeah.
What does it say?
Mary Edwards began her winemaking career in 1974.
Okay, she was making wine, but it doesn't mean she was.
Mary Edwards. I see. Okay.
And it wasn't a national brand either. I do remember Hanzel, and that's still a big one. That's $70-$80, just like that.
Scott, has he ever shared Hanzel with us?
I've never bought Hanzel. I should. It's not out of stock right now, and of course it's wine.com. Oh. But when we do the Kentucky post office box, we'll be able to get it. But yeah, you've never had Hanzel.
Huh.
Okay. All right. Well, isn't it Chardonnay? Oh. You know the big Pinot that back in the it was Stanford. Nobody buys Stanford anymore. That was one that you'd buy. But I don't know. There's
Bobo's never had Hansel. I've never even heard of Hansel.
Oh, I'm sorry. There's a lot of things you've never heard of that I know about. But it's
God, I'm rolling my eyes.
It's just if I could, you know, be like the. How many things are that? Well, what am I going to put them all in? Is the Pacific Ocean available? I just said it. Still, I don't know. I just, you know, Hansel's good.
2006.
What?
Mary and Ken Edwards began construction of their own Mary Edwards Winery.
That was way after I was selling wine.
Cooper
so.
Smith.
Yeah.
When did you stop working it?
2003. So, and then by the time this is probably the earlier vintages that they had. 2008, 2007, because if they started constructing it, I mean, who knows? But it certainly wasn't out there then. And I'm just trying to think back to the stuff that we sold. The only thing that comes to mind was, as a premium one, was Hansel, but I'm sure there were tons of other ones. And people were like, well, I know this is a... Shut up, I don't care. I didn't drink Pinot when I was 22. Sorry.
It is sad that every time I mention Anderson's, I still get sad.
I know. There isn't a store like that anymore. Mm-mm. There just isn't. I was at, last night we went out and saw the Christmas lights up in wherever it was in the north, somewhere in
Croton.
Antarctica.
Croton.
Yeah, Croton, yeah. And so we went past, you know, Croton. That in Granville. People, I know you're out in California, so what's Granville? It doesn't matter.
Granville is a nice town by where we live. It's poshy. A little bit yuppie.
A little bit yuppie.
It's where Denison is, mm-hmm. which is like an elite private school. It is.
I know. But they have an IGA there. Scott, do you know that IGA? That
yes.
They have? Okay. Never been in there.
Yep. Get some wine there.
I went in there, and it's...
They go there because they have family that live there.
That's true. You do. And so, you know, I was making beef burgundy for my office tomorrow, so I got all the ingredients in there. It's a pretty neat store. Big wine. Well, I mean, not a diverse wine selection, but I did buy for my White Elephant gift for my co-worker a bottle of Mason Sauvignon Blanc in there.
Gorgeous.
I know.
What?
That's right. Mason. $16. I was like, what? Yeah, I'll buy Mason. Yeah, I'll do that.
Did you get one for down here?
No.
It's always nice to have a bottle of Sauvignon Blanc.
Becky hates... I do. I have bottles of Sauvignon Blanc lying around. So I have Turley, and I have Gamble, and I have, you know...
What Rob's not telling about this story is we had gone to see the lights, and the lights were lovely, really good. Maggie loved them. We all loved them. Then we're on our way home, and it's late. Like, our kids are little. We are going to get home at, like, 8:15, which is late for our kids. It really is. Maggie's an early bedtime person. And Rob's like, I really want to go back through Granville and go to the market.
I didn't know that it wasn't on the way home. I thought it was the way it went.
I said that. It was not. You say a lot of things. Added on.
3 minutes.
About 20 minutes to the drive. But then, Scott, I made the biggest error that I've made before. Rob doesn't need a money budget. He needs a time budget. Yeah. So me, Luke, and Maggie were in the car.
Yeah.
For over 30 minutes.
No, it wasn't 30 minutes.
Yes, it was. I looked at my phone.
It was 28 minutes. I timed it. And in my defense, William wanted to see everything. So I had William with me. I mean, what are you going to do? He was like, wanted to see everything and, like, you know, talk to different people about where they source their beef. It was embarrassing. Mm-hmm. It would be like a little you there.
Well,
you know. It was so rough. And then he had to see all the gluten-free selections, and he had to get Becky all this gluten-free stuff. And
he's very thoughtful.
Yeah, he was. He was. And Becky's leaving all those things out. So, but she has to. That's just her nature. So, folks, we're going to take a break. And then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. We'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So it's Christmas time is here. They say this is Christmas. Wow. That's all I got. We always have our gift exchange tonight, and today is no different.
Well,
this year.
It's different because this is really special.
Oh, is it?
Well, yeah.
Well, Becky and I have our gift for you, Scott. And I'm going to hand it to you. I wrapped it myself.
Rob wrapped it. I was a nervous wreck the whole time because Luke was eating a bowl of Cheerios next to it.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, that is going to end up all over the gift. And then he had an orange Gatorade on top of this gift.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you nervous while wrapping a gift. I was wrapping your gift.
Yeah. And
not even halfway through the wrapping, the spool of tape. You know how it gets tight when it's about
to run out? Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just enough tape to wrap that gift.
Well, Scott is opening a box.
Yes.
There's no clues as to what it is.
It's beautiful wrapping presents.
It's Costco wrapping paper.
Nice and
there's
thick.
Some
glitter.
Heaviness about the gift.
Well, yeah, and I can say this gift was not easy to come by.
Oh.
No, it was not.
Wait till you see what I got.
Oh, well.
Rob gave a couple options, and I was like, I can't believe that this is even a question.
You can tell Scott is unwrapping something.
Oh.
Well, slow down, Scott. You don't know.
The box. Oh, folks.
What's it say?
It's from
Ridge Winery in California.
But there could be obfuscation. There could be deceit. There could be trickery.
There is a slight bet. It's not exactly what you think it is, but it's still a little more interesting than what you might think it is.
It's the size of...
It's two bottles of Montebello.
It's a size of shoebox.
Mm-hmm. It is.
No, it's Ridge extra virgin olive oil and Ridge red wine vinegar.
Man, that is not easy to buy.
That is freaking fantastic.
You have to go order it from the vineyard itself.
This is fantastic, folks.
I know, and it's little Ridge bottles. It's just adorable.
And they're
gorgeous.
It's
really cute.
Yeah.
So it is not exactly what you think it is.
No, well, yeah, I ordered it from Ridge.
I wanted to look. I mean, it looks like, yeah.
And by the way, I'd like to say about Ridge.
Where's the Ridge bottle?
There's one back there.
But it looks like
the
label.
Exactly like the Ridge.
Yeah.
Folks, so go online and check out Ridge. They have multiple different like clubs you can be in.
Yeah.
And they are somewhat reasonably priced.
What kind of club are you talking?
Different Zen clubs.
And they like do... Like you buy a membership and you get like a Zen a month. Is that what you mean?
No, it's like it's kind of like Turley, but you get a set number of bottles a year. So like it's like 12 bottles. And
Acorn was like that, right?
Yeah, but you'd rather have this. And quite frankly, they say it averages like so certain ones. So like they're good stuff, you know. Well, it's all good stuff, but I say you'll spend between $450 and $500 for 12 bottles a year.
Oh.
With shipping and all. Man, it's actually a little high. It's more like $350 to $450. Different levels. You can even do Montebello and all stuff. Then if you're on like doing that, then you can get just regular discounts on the rest of their stuff, which is kind of cool. You get their club prices.
We're big fans of Ridge.
Huge
not
fans.
To like give anything away, but that was my immediate thought for wine of the year.
The three vineyards?
Yeah. I mean, I was just that what you thought
that's
too?
The only one I can
It just like either. It came to my mind and I was like, I can't think of anything else.
Yep.
And I wanted you to read through, but at the same time, it's like, I think that's kind of what you want for winery of the year.
It was the best wine I think we've had this year. It's close, but well, I mean, of current release.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's no secret. We like to cook.
Yeah.
And premium olive oil and vinegars. More and more as I cook, I like to pickle things before I cook them.
Mm-hmm.
It just gives a little different taste and that pop of acidity. Even if you're doing a veg and then you're going to add it to meat, it helps cook the meat.
Also, something you can buy on their website, you can buy their wood boxes. Different
like
size. Yeah, like those. Yeah.
Huh.
So, folks, there's all sorts of stuff they sell in there. Go on there. you know, it's I mean,
that's cool.
There's Zen prices. Okay, the shipping. Just make sure you buy enough to make it worth your while.
Yeah.
If you do that, you're going to really enjoy a lot of great wine. And their Zens, I mean, they're charging $36 for them. I mean, that's, you know.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Reasonable.
Mm-hmm. And back to the giving.
Ooh.
This is for the Triple B.
Oh. Are you jelly? So this is a little bit smaller than a shoebox.
Also, any guesses? This is something we've talked about.
It feels kind of heavy.
This is definitely something we've discussed.
Oh my gosh, that's exciting! It's three books.
Oh. By
I almost said I wonder if this is a book because I actually need some stuff to read. The Raven Black, Telling Tales. Crow Trap.
We've talked about
first.
Yes, we've talked about Anne Cleves. She's become one of my favorite authors. Vera Stanhope and also the other characters in Jimmy Perez are the protagonist in her novels. And Vera Stanhope's become one of my favorite characters of all.
Is this the basis for the hit TV series? Is that BBC?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
But her protagonists are flawed.
Yeah.
They talk about their flaws, and there's a lot of head kind of thinking about not just the story or the murder mystery, but what's going on in their lives.
Oh.
I think you'll love it.
I probably have 6 or 7 library books right now, and I'm going to return them all tomorrow because they're just not what I want to read right now. But I was thinking today, like, I just wish I had a good book to read over Christmas break. I have 2 weeks off.
Of course, you'll probably read those in 3 days.
Yeah.
15 minutes, more likely.
Becky and I are both very fast readers. But,
That's so exciting. Thank you. I don't want
to
get them.
When I talked to you about her, her first novel reminded me of Tara French.
Yeah.
The other ones don't have that same.
It's a different vibe.
Tara French, it's kind of disjointed.
Yeah.
You know, the story's told from different.
Yeah.
Visions.
Yeah.
She does that, but not to the degree of her first novel.
Have you watched her series?
Nope.
I think it's...
Purposely have not. It's on BBC America.
And then it says in the U.S. you can watch it on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm. Purposely have not. You don't want it to ruin it.
No.
Yeah.
And do they ever get it right?
I know. That's cool.
I think one that I've read... The series is definitely better on visual print is The Handmaid's Tale.
I haven't read that.
I didn't care for the books.
Yeah.
They're okay.
Yeah.
Back to the giving.
This is so exciting. So exciting and so timely.
It is. It's good.
Yeah.
Perfect gift for you.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, mine, folks, is in a brown bag. A wine-type bag. Maybe a little wider.
It's a brown paper bag.
I'm so excited for this. This is in a bag that could hold a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
So this...
Is that a grain and grape bag?
It could be.
Oh.
This is something I looked long and hard for. It's one of his...
Is it Brannick?
Favorites.
Is it Brannick?
He's going to just absolutely love this.
Is it a cat wine?
No.
It was very...
It's a suspiciously poorly wrapped in some sort of tissue paper.
It was weirdly wrapped. That's why I thought it was a cat wine.
Oh, you did.
What is it?
Charles Shaw. Oh. But there is something on the bottom.
It's a perfect gift.
I would cut you in. Oh, thank you. A gift card.
To Great and Great?
Yeah. Oh, that's very nice, sir. Thank you.
That's exciting. You have some time off to go shopping.
That's true. I do. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, buddy.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
That's disgusting.
What did we just do, Charles Shaw?
Their cat Bernay.
And what is this?
This is the red blend.
Oh. Is that the same size bottle, or is it a half bottle?
That's a
it's frumpy.
They have a frumpy bottle, Charles Shaw.
apples.
Why?
Because it's kind of melty.
I mean, but why? Do they have
it? It's got Scooby-Doo face. It's like my son.
Stop. That's funny. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you very much.
I really was today like, I'm really sad about my book situation on break.
You'll have to take me to Grand Grape. We'll go up there.
Okay.
Is it downtown?
Bexley.
Bexley.
Yeah.
By the top and by Wings.
Oh. It something that we need to talk about before we move on.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
The Sycamore.
It sold.
To someone new.
About a year ago.
And so it opened, I think, this summer. Their Instagram page, their menu looks lovely. Like, really, really nice. They do breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They have a window where you can walk up and get coffee.
Huh.
And what did I show you? Mussels?
Yes.
With like a big piece of crusty bread, like mussels in a some kind of like white wine sauce with a big piece of crusty bread.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also saw they had Brussels sprouts with pomegranate and something else in a Dijon mustard sauce. I forget what kind of cheese it would have been. But anyways, just like really reminded me of what the Sycamore was when they were inventive with their menu. And I didn't know if you had been or if you had heard anything about it.
I had not. So before it got transformed, it was a sit at the bar with six bar stools and flat top grill right there. Certain days of the week, you could sign up to cook your own food and serve everybody.
Really?
But it was breakfast, lunch, dinner. Neighborhood like Miller beer.
Yeah.
Like Miller High Life. Huh? Locals drinking beer.
Yeah.
And then obviously local restaurateur transformed the place.
Yeah.
And porchetta sandwich. Huh. Vegetable tagine.
I know. I
wanna interesting menu. Small.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, look at this mussel platter. Packed with flavor, this dish is made with tomato, white wine, and garlic.
Hello.
Like, exactly.
Yeah.
Now, back to the topic. We were talking about our wine of the year. Becky and I both agreed that the Ridge Three Valleys Red Blend, well, mostly Zin, should be it. Scott, what are your thoughts?
Hold on. Here is the Brussels sprouts. Packed with flavors made with bacon, pomegranate, blue cheese, and maple Dijon vinaigrette.
Yep.
Doesn't that seem like it was...
And it looks, so it's real condensed and it looks like a sub sandwich.
Yeah. It reminds me of what Sycamore was the first time I had it. Like a little bit of a inventive menu.
Yes.
I don't know.
This is a little more cost effective, I think.
So what were your thoughts, Scott? Did you remember any of the wines?
I'm looking at the top shelf.
Okay.
Pone Canet cannot be in that.
What?
It can't be. Neither can, because they're not
current. Not fair.
Yeah.
Pride was also great.
Yeah.
Pride Merlot. Yeah. Uh-oh. She never had it, though. Well, we haven't released that episode, have we? No, we can't do that because we've never released the episode and she's never
of had what?
It. Yes, we can.
Mount Veeder. Yeah, we can't do that.
We can do that.
We can't. I just said we couldn't.
We can.
The only other one I would say is a Hitching Post. It didn't get as higher scores as the Three Vineyards, but it's really nice.
Yeah.
So
the Pride and the Mount Veeder.
I think that we haven't released Mount Veeder. We can't do that. It has to actually be released on an episode this year, and it has not, and it won't be.
We didn't have I Love Pizza this year.
That's true, because it wouldn't have won.
You know, for the Oscars, there's plenty of movies that nobody sees that are eligible for the awards. That's true,
that no one's ever heard of. You know, and then you're like, wait a second.
I'm going to vote for Foxglove Cabernet, I think.
You are not.
Yes. No. I think that the Ridge Three Valleys, for me, and you think that. And that's,
that was just, I couldn't, it popped in my mind first, and was, I feel like that's...
It was wondrous. It was really nice. And I think I gave it a 93.
Something that we used to do a couple, I don't know if we did this last year or 2 years ago, we did like a regular, like a, not a higher end wine, but a regular Hall of Fame and then a value price Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah.
But I do feel like you all have been very quick to put anything in this value price Hall of Fame. My, and so we cannot.
Well, my value price would be Protocolo.
Well, Protocolo was good.
Yeah. $8.99. Yeah.
What's the other one that you got that I don't like that's cheap? That Bordeaux one from Trader Joe's.
Oh, yeah. Well, we haven't released that either, but it, we did do an episode. The Old Clairby.
Yeah. Yeah. Cari. Yeah. That's another $7.99.
Oh, Val de Bonfim with the helicopter deck. That was a good one. The Duero.
Well, that was just a good episode. I don't know if the wine was that good.
Vranic was good.
Would you... so I... My vote is for Ridge, but then when there's like tawny pour episodes that I'm not a part of, would there be one that you all would, or is it just all tawny pour?
We normally are too drunk to remember. No, we haven't released it. One thing we've done this year was the Yolumba Antique Tawny. That was really good. But another one that's good, El Enemigo Chardonnay. Oh, Gunlach Bunchu.
Oh, yeah, that is good. Mountain
but see, that's the... $22, so I don't know that we get that into the budget price.
No, we're just talking about regular.
I wouldn't put that up for the... if I go overall for the price point, that's up there, and it deserves special mention because I think people need to know about that wine.
Which one?
What did we have last night or 2 nights ago?
Oh, Gunlach Bunchu, but it's Sonoma County.
Cabernet. Yeah. I've got a half case of that.
No, you, really? We've got the big dog. We were drinking the $50 stuff.
Oh,
yeah.
That's exciting. Where'd you get
that? Have you had that yet?
Did you order the half case online?
How was that? Yeah. Oh, yeah. When
it was. It was. Yeah.
It was good, I thought. It was really spicy. Like the cigar box, spice box was really strong in it. Mm-hmm. It was very good.
It's a very great wine.
Are you going to be sad that you didn't set it back for a couple of years?
No, because I can always buy more.
Okay.
It was a really good drink.
I think the Mountain Cuvée, especially considering it's, you know, what, one third the price? Well, a little, yeah.
$22.
$19.99. But it's probably a much better buy. But having a bottle or two of the regular, it's still strong.
I think in my half case, some of them will not make it, but I'm shooting for 3-4 years.
Yeah, 3-4 years is about what it...
And I think they said 10?
No.
I don't know about all that, but it's a good wine.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think it...
Well, if we're talking about surprise of the year, there's a question. What wine was the most surprising
good? I don't think we expected that to be as good as it was.
No, probably not. No. No, honestly.
What's that one that has the weird label over there?
Oh, this?
Mm-hmm. What was that called?
You didn't have that.
What's the one that I had? No, I had that.
No, that was a Cab Franc. We had one from, it's the Loire Valley. It's what the, Jersut. What the hell was that called? That is this year. If you had had that and you like Cab Franc, that would have been my wine of the year because that is beyond any imagination amazingly good. It's from the Loire Valley. And it's the Cab Franc. What was it called? I don't know. The episode's out there.
What's the one that I had that we had the really on the that. Label and I couldn't believe it?
El Enemigo? That's a Cab Franc. It's right there. It was on a blind tasting episode.
Oh.
That's very nice. The El Enemigo Cab Franc's very nice.
I think I would maybe put that as a surprise.
Okay.
Because I think I liked it, right?
Yeah.
And I would never in 1,000 years choose a Cab Franc.
That's true. That's true. For a surprise for me, honestly, the Protocolo was a surprise because it was lovely and it was cheap. That's one.
Yeah.
Beyond that, I thought the Gunlach Bunchu would be pretty good. I thought we'd like that some.
I was a little bit surprised by that, but honestly, I think we're both didn't expect the Hitching Post to be as good as it was.
I thought it'd be pretty good.
What's the one? There was something else that had animals on it.
I thought that the Los Rocas wine would be good, and both of them were terrible. There was not that one.
So much.
Yeah, that was bad. Going back through here. Domaine de la Solitude, that Cote de Rhone. Remember that? That was really nice. We liked that. Becky didn't have that one, but the Brannock was a surprise. I thought it would be a mess, and it was good. For those that drink Kirkland, the Kirkland Signature Alexander Valley Cabernet was a train wreck. You know what? The biggest surprise, because it wasn't very good, and we don't even talk about it, was the Casa Lo Pastol Clo Apalta. Remember that?
It was not very good.
No, it wasn't. And it's $107 a bottle of wine. That was not very good. That was a big surprise. If I'm going to pick a surprise, that's the surprise. Oh, a conga. Not being an absolute abject train wreck. Just being a minor derailment was a surprise.
That's true. And you cooked with that.
Yeah, I did.
And it was good.
It was, well, slow down.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't, yeah. You know what?
A conga is a big surprise of the year. If we had known what a conga was going true. Into it.
We wouldn't have made fun of it so much, would we have? Yeah, the conga would be the biggest surprise. You know, that is, I'm going to vote for a conga as the biggest surprise.
About it.
Yeah. Hey, like that, Scott. A conga.
I don't know what to say.
Mm-hmm. Least surprising one of the year was Drops of Jupiter.
God. Actually, it would be Coconin because it wasn't actually on the show. It was Cocobon.
I'll tell you another one that we need to consider for the budget entry prices. The Suzanne Balboa.
Becky didn't have it.
The Krios.
Becky didn't have it, but I agree.
Talk about it.
I know. No, that was a very nice bottle of wine.
Am I surprised you all had it without me? Not at all.
I know, for 10 or 11 bucks, pretty solid.
And I've had some of her other offerings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what else?
The Reserva.
Oh.
Really good.
Well, no. We have had that too.
Yeah.
And it is good.
That I might put up as our value price candidate. The Krios.
The Krios is up there. I would still say Protocolo because it's cheaper.
I think you had that has a special place in your heart.
Yeah, that Protocolo was very, very good. I would vote Protocolo.
Your French snobbery gets in the way of your.
I don't hate the Krios, but I would continue. I need to buy some Protocolo some more because it's that good. I don't buy more Krios, but then again, they ran out of that vintage, so they're onto a new vintage.
See, I think I scored the Krios higher than the Protocolo.
That's not the same vintage, but you're very well welcome to. I think we were all in the 80s on the Protocolo, but it's more just price. I mean, it's $8.99.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a really cheap price, just to point that out, you know. So, folks, obviously, we're talking about this. I think if we're all in agreement, Ridge, Three Valleys.
Are we doing a wine and a winery?
Do we have a winery? We didn't talk about that. I mean, because I don't know. Because we have not done like lines of everything this year.
I think the only one we did more than one bottle of was Ellen Amigio.
Ellen Amigio. We also did Catherine Goldschmidt's stuff. We did two of those. Then we stopped.
Then we stopped.
Well, there's nothing available anymore because then Ohio got dickish. But
we really should look into running it from Kentucky.
We could do that. Yeah. Certain
I don't
things.
Know if it'll be any better.
That's true. Ellen Amigio, that's pretty good, though.
Both of them were.
Yeah. Did we just do two? We did the Malbec, too. We've done the Malbec.
I don't think that aired.
No, it's aired.
I'm not seeing it in last year.
Hmm. I thought we did that. Oh, maybe not. Most of them will have to remedy. And the Bonardo. But I don't know. Does everybody like El Emigio as the... Because the Chardonnay was the best Chardonnay.
Did I have it?
Well, you had it after the fact, yes. had El Emigio Chardonnay.
You felt bad, and so I had more.
Yes.
Well, I think you would protest if we did a Chardonnay in the first episode.
Probably.
Yeah. I think you would. Protest. What I have always found issue with is when we do a $3.99 Chardonnay, and then I see you all have like a $65. Okay,
we don't have.
I'm good.
We don't have a $3.99 Chardonnay.
A $4 Chardonnay, and then you have a...
What, you, she
he would, wants me to have some, too.
Okay, well, yeah.
Rob doesn't understand.
I know that, but...
Well, that's you were funny. Saying no,
that's
and funny.
I'm sure you... you so, yeah, that's what's yeah. in there.
But that's when we would have something that was undrinkable, and then you all would have something that you'd saved in the cellar for 15 years.
It's a bunch of bullshit. You know that's a lie. You have to live with your lies.
And then sometimes you all would do a third bottle.
That's been a long
time. Not a long time.
We have not done that. So.
But I called you all out. Mm. And oh, it's become sure. better.
Yeah, great. So, Ridge, Three Valleys. Congratulations, Ridge. Wine Vaults, Wine of the Year. Value priced. Becky and I agree. That's a majority rule. That Protocolo.
I didn't hear Becky weigh in on that.
Tinto. Value priced Wine of the Year. And El Enemigo is the winery of the year.
And I think that I'm going to be an honorable mention to Gunlock.
Gunlock Bunchu.
Well, I think it deserves special attention for sure, some kind of special award. But there's a descending vote on the budget price wine of the year. I got to go the Sin Bobola Curios.
Well, we'll give you a pat on the head, but that doesn't count. And worst winery of the year, of course, is Francis Ford Coppola. So
no way.
Yeah, oh, yes.
No.
No. Wait, worst one of the year is Drops of Jupiter.
That's just one God, wine. I'm talking about a...
no,
just,
they have a whole line.
They have a whole line, and I can assure all of us that they're all... Are you willing to...
But it's for a good cause.
I'd rather swallow my own tongue than...
Are you willing to drink through their catalog, or do you want to just give them the reward now and move on? I would drink Coppola's catalog before I would drink another... Drops of Jupiter.
I'd rather drink Francis's bathwater before I drink Drops of Jupiter.
Frank's bathtub.
Yeah.
The Miami cap was bad.
Oh, that's true, too. But that's just kind of low-hanging fruit.
It's like kicking the...
It's also Kokanen.
Except it wasn't Kokanen.
I still... It doesn't matter. It's still Kokanen. It's Kokoban.
I honestly don't even know that. For sure what it was, because I feel like I'm so confused on that wine.
Oh, yes, and surprise of the year got... surprise of the year was a conga, so,
yeah,
you know.
Easily.
Yeah. And that Cab Franc, that El Enemigo.
Yeah, but it's...
That surprised both of us.
But that's expensive. A conga is $3.99. It's never gotten anything in its entire life, other than scabies.
It wasn't good.
Yeah, but it's $3.99. It didn't make you die. So that's
yet.
Feather in its cap.
Yet.
That's a shelf talker for Okanga. It won't make you die. Dot, dot, dot. And even the dot, dot, dot. I mean, yeah, whatever. I mean, it means it's a little foreboding. But still, it doesn't necessarily kill you. And that's good enough for Okanga. That's great. Charles Shaw can't say that. So, folks, we're going to take a break. And then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So, the 2010 Mary Edwards Russian River Valley Klop Ranch Pinot Noir. We're going to go around the room. And we're going to go over to the Triple B. Yes. She's going to provide this a wine, a review, a numerical score, as you were. In English, please. Maintain your cover. Never crack.
So, something that I'm thinking about when I'm working on the number.
Vodka?
Potatoes.
So, there's so many...
Russian nesting dolls?
So, you can tell this is a Pinot by the nose. You can tell this is a Pinot when you look at it. Obviously, you can tell it when you taste it. there is something, like, I'm trying to think of the best way to verbalize that. When you find a Pinot that is, looks, acts, smells, all those things like a Pinot, there's nothing out, like, the balance that we talked about, all of that is so lovely, so in line, especially on a Pinot, that is difficult. More so, I feel like, than anything else, because Pinot is such a delicate grape. And then when, the flavors I wrote down, mossy, lavender, just a slight bit of funk, raspberry, lovely, balanced, tannic. The oaking is light at the end. It is not heavy-handed. All of those things are just really, really, really well done. At the beginning, I compared this to Camus and its drinkability. I had 2.5 glasses. I could have had 5 glasses. Like, it just is so easy to drink, where a lot of Pinots aren't necessarily always easy to drink. You might sip on a Pinot for a while and be like, oh, that was great, but this is like a drinking Pinot. It's very good.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, with all that being said, I was kind of fluctuating on my score. I was between a 91 and a 92, and I'm going to go with a 92.
Ooh.
Because for all those things that I said, but I think that we just can't emphasize enough how difficult a good Pinot is to find and drink and all those things. So just want to recognize it and give it a good score.
On to Scott.
Similarly, when I drink this wine, I think of large, bald Polish man smashing potatoes for the vodka.
What?
It just makes me think of this. No, I was at the same place, 92. I was 92 all day long, though. Can't go higher than that. I wonder if it was a couple years past.
What? Why'd you do that?
Why not?
He does it all the time.
Is that the story you were going to give it?
You draw your name, I draw penises.
I mention large, bald Polish man, and he draws penis.
Well, that's what you're thinking about.
I was thinking about smashing potatoes. That's no, 92. I just wonder if it was a couple years past because of I didn't get the fruit at the front that you did. If it had just a little more fruit on the front, God, this is 93, 94 all day long. Loved it. But 92.
Stop.
He missed. 92.
Yes, I did. Anyway, it's on to me. Scott, 292s, and I am going to provide this wine 91 of my points.
Oh. There's
perestroika. Perestroika.
I think it might be a little bit aged, but it's lovely. I think 91, 92, you're fine with any of those scores.
So you're giving it a point deduction because you held on to it for too long?
This is my fault.
Is that what I heard?
That's what you heard. No, I think it's lovely. The mouthfeel really was what gets it there.
Yep.
It's such an elegant wine. It has, you know what I enjoy is I see little elements of some of the other ones we've drank, you know, like the Hitching Post, whatnot. It's just this is turned up to 11, where those are on a 9 or an 8. You see all the elements of the connections of how they're all so similar, but yet this is just different.
Yeah. It,
you know, and so for me, why not a 92, 93, 94? Mostly because of the overall size. The front palate is muted a little bit now. It's showing a little bit of... It doesn't really have... It's not a multi-dimensional wine where you're going to see 50 different things. You're not going to say, oh my gosh, this wine is the most complex, inquisitive, just fascinating wine I've ever drank. What it is, there's two is's, but that's okay. Wonderful mouthfeel. Excellent drinking experience. Beautiful representation of Pinot. It's just kind of like a stereotypical Pinot. You look and, oh, that's what a Pinot looks like. That's this wine. However, it doesn't have a lot of the subtle nuances that you might see with something that you're going to give a little bit higher score to. So I think that...
And let's be honest, and we were all talking about it, there were things where you saw something, mm-hmm. Becky saw something, I didn't see it. I saw something, you didn't see it. So it's like, were we kind of looking for stuff to be there that, and we wanted it to be there?
Yeah.
And maybe it was or it wasn't.
It's just overall... It comes up a little bit short in complexity to get it into the 92, 93, 94 range.
That's now, right. We're picking it apart because this was...
Oh, yeah. Really
the,
good.
The finish on this one and mm-hmm. the balance of the tannins
yep.
with that just beautiful...
Do you think it could have been a 93 or 94 if Rob hadn't held on to it for so long?
I don't know.
I think
it would have been interesting if you guys had that... 09 and the 10 kind of mm-hmm. closer in proximity
yeah, vertical.
To compare them.
Oh, yeah.
But we're mincing at words mm-hmm. here. The mouthfeel on this mm-hmm. in combination with that finish.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it's not the most complex, it's a pretty long bastard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So that's where I'm at, 92. Well, I would range.
Wait,
I'd go
92? I thought you said 91.
You did. Well, I'm 91. Sorry. Slip of the tongue. Mm. I would go 80, 90, 91.
You would not. That's
no.
a bold face.
I go 90, 92.
Yeah, I agree. I would do 91, 92.
More like 80. I couldn't. I think it's blasphemy to say 90. I think
it's blasphemous to say 89. And 90 is too low, too.
It's a 91.
91's like pretty I low. Said. 91's pretty low.
No, 91's fair. 91's fair. So. Hall of Fame, naturally.
Yes.
With distinction.
We knew it was headed there anyways.
Oh, it's not when I opened it the first time.
Really?
It needed time. It needed oxygen. It needed air. Folks, you open an old bottle, do not sip it the first time and go, this is disgusting. That is give it a couple hours to open up and just...
How long did you decant?
What time is it now? So... It was open about 7:30.
Oh. So it's a good hour and a half to camp before we got started.
Yes.
At least.
Yeah. Yes. And when it was, I tried it right there.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. No, not good. More like a 75.
Easy.
So, no, well, you didn't have it. It was awful. Yeah. But that's what these wines have to have. You open an old wine, it is not a pop and pour. It is a decant. Decant, yeah. Decant. You know, forget about it. Sediment is one thing. It needs to get oxygen in there and open up because it's closed, it's shut down. And when you have a closed young wine, okay, that's fine. A closed old wine, not fine. Not something you want to drink or put in your body.
Mm.
You have to give the wine time to open up. So be patient with old wines, yet enjoy them. So, Hall of Fame for Mary Edwards. Two wines that they have in the Hall of Fame, of course. Same place, but so two different vintages. There we go. Nevertheless, folks, we want to wish you and miss you, but we want to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Miss you a Merry Christmas.
Although we might see you before the New Year, you'll see us before the New Year. But that's not the point. How dare you? I'm sure we have at least one more episode for this season. However, we are drawing close to the end of season 5, and we have enjoyed all the seasons ahead. Now, mind you, folks.
We've enjoyed all the seasons behind us, not all the seasons ahead.
Oh, there's seasons ahead. We've been renewed for season 6.
We've been picked up.
And season 7. It's probably season 8, 9, 10. Well. We're not going anywhere. That being said, for Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, and the Triple B, we will bid you adieu. However, we will see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.